combined with the word nous, mind, means a complete change of mind. So repentance involves new thinking. Born again involves a new heart. So repent and be born again. So there's an opposite change. Now let's take the word meta and see how it's used when it's combined with the morpho. The word morpho, as you have seen, is the normal word for the word form. Form. You put the word meta to it, it means to change your form to another opposite type of form. Whew. Transformation. That's our English word. Transform. And so you will change from one form to the very opposite of what it could be. Oh no, I forgot to off this. Sorry, folks. And yeah, let me just chuck it away. Who in the world will read me on Sunday? Right. Who in the world will read a pastor on Sunday morning? Right. Okay. And now, probably overseas call. So here, where was I? Oh Lord. And we have metamorpho, right? To change our form, transform our form from one type of form into another form. Think about that. Your old way and your old form was pulled by the law of sin and death. It's pulled by the law of gravity of sin. It's pulling and drawing in all the wrong directions towards death. But your new form is opposite from that. You are transformed into that. And like an old Sunday school song, the things I used to love, I love them no more. Things I used to do, I do them no more. Not because of any effort, but because something in you has been transformed. The bad things taste bad, and the good things now taste good. Because something in you has changed and transformed over to the other side. That's what metamorpho means. To be transformed to the very opposite of what your old man was. Or what your old nature was. And God is interested in showing us the key to change. The change that can come from our inside. Metamorpho. Transformation. Now let's look at Romans chapter 12 verse 2. In the light of all those things we have considered. Romans 12 verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Now that's the old nature. It's drawn to the world. But be transformed. Metamorpho. You completely change into the very opposite of what your old nature was. By the renewing of your mind. One little scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Now that's the same word, metamorpho, in verse 18. It gives you a little bit more clue of how the transformation process takes place in verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now, did he say anything about keeping the law? No. Did he say anything about resolutions? No. Did he say anything about new rules and regulations? No. But he says, as you behold the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Metamorpho. Transformed. Into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's the secret there of transformation in the Lord. See, Christian life is not about new rules and regulations, but it's about transformation. And understanding the key to allowing God to transform our life from glory to glory. Now we'll touch on this more in this little series, but I got to go back to Romans 12 verse 2. And it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorpho, by the renewing of your mind. Now look at that phrase carefully. Transform by the renewing of your mind. Remember the title of this series, Transformation and Renewal. If you look at that phrase carefully, transformation by the renewal of the mind, it's obvious to you that renewal takes place before transformation, correct? You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. So obviously, the renewing of the mind as it takes place transforms you. Can you see the keys there? And the process of renewing that takes place is going to bring the effect of transformation. You're transformed by. The word by tells you that's the power that does it. And if you say, you know, the cake was made by Maria. Right? That means Maria used the power of cake making to make the cake. Correct? The process was by. Thank you, Maria. And so, the word by tells us the cause of the transformation. Right? And if I say that your car engine runs by petrol, the petrol is necessary to feed it to keep it running. So obviously what comes after the by is essential to produce the effect of the transformation. So that's why we look at the word renewal now. Renewing of your mind. Now the word renewal, whichever translation you have, the word renew is from the Greek word anakainos. A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O-S. Anakainos. It's a combination of two words. The word ana, A-N-A, and the word kainos, K-A-I-N-O-S. Now, the word kainos simply means new. Kainos. You have a new car, you have a kainos car, new car. You have a new hairstyle. You have a kainos hairstyle. It just means new. It's just a normal Greek word for the word new. And the word ana added to it means again, to be repeated. So like long ago in church history, you have the Anabaptists, those who believe in baptizing people all over again. And so the word ana in the Greek talks about a repetition of the thing, a repeat of the thing. So when you combine it together, anakainos, it means you are made new again. God makes you new again. And the word renew, if you look at it very carefully, talks about God doing that as a process. Now let's look at some scriptures to give us light to this passage here. And in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So there is something happening every day. Something new coming forth day by day. An accumulation of new things taking place day by day on your inside. And you can see that as it accumulates, accumulates and accumulates, it reaches a point where transformation takes place. It needs a certain mass of renewal, and then something begins to take place that transforms your whole nature. Renewing of the mind. Let's look over at the book of Titus. The book of Titus, which is found right after the book of Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, and chapter 3 of Titus, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, what's this renewing of the Holy Spirit? And when you put both together, this is the concept that the Bible is bringing forth. Every day, something new is happening on your inside. Didn't Paul say that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 earlier, verse 16? That his inner man is being renewed day by day. So there is a process of that taking place. And as that accumulates, it reaches a certain point of capacity where it begins to transform. Now, I try to imagine a little fetus growing in a mother's womb. At first, when conception takes place, it's only a single cell human being. And that fertilized egg clings itself onto part of the mother's womb. And it begins to grow and to multiply. And then as the cells multiply, it reaches a certain point. At first it all looks like just a clump of cells. But as the cells increase, to a certain point, the cells begin to separate in color and in type. The certain cells begin to form the eyes. Certain cells begin to form the skeletal structure of the fetus. Certain cells begin to form all the heart and the organs and the liver. And every human organ we need as adults is forming in the fetus. But how does it happen? A little bit at a time, over a 9-month period, the cells are multiplying, multiplying, multiplying. When it reaches a certain capacity or a certain, what I call, a point, it begins to form a new organ and tissue that is necessary for human life, biological life. So it needs a mass of cells, a critical mass, you can call it. And that's an illustration for biology. Let's get an illustration for nuclear physics. There is radioactive material all over the soil at all times. But it's too minimal to bring together to make an atomic bomb. And so to make an atomic bomb, they have to get the heavy materials like uranium-238, which is radioactive, one of the heaviest natural known materials to man. A lot of other like plutonium-239 is usually artificially made. So if they go and harvest and dig out the soil for radioactive materials, most of the time they find is uranium-238. And what happens is, you can't use uranium-238 to build bombs because it doesn't have enough capacity or enough neutrons to split itself naturally. So they have to isolate all the uranium molecules and separate those that are 238 from those that are 235. Because the 235 is a bit lopsided on the neutron side, so it's easier to split naturally. And so they just have to gather this uranium-235. out of a big chunk, they could just have a tiny little bit. So naturally, it's very hard to find it occurring in a big mass. And so in the process of making an atomic bomb, why am I teaching people how to make bombs, right? Anyway, this is illustration. And so what they have is they began to isolate. Now, the theoretical concept is simple, but the technology